I remember now.
Amen. What's that?
I remember my question.
You had a question?
I have a question, just a basic question. I tried to listen to Wednesday night's Bible study. It's the first time this has ever happened to me. Went on the site and it's not in there.
Oh, really?
Not there.
Anybody else have? It's a rerun, I think.
Oh, it's a rerun? Well, usually
It's
they have like the dates.
no, Wednesday's one. Last Wednesday's one.
Oh, the 12th. Yeah.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah, it was a rerun, I think. When is
Okay.
Samuel? Yeah, I think it was a rerun.
It's
Uh,
not
but
in
yeah,
there.
it's up there, I think.
I don't see
But
it.
you don't see it?
Nope. I just pulled up the website.
Okay. Well, I'll tell David.
Yep.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. Fix everything. Everything that's wrong, fix it, Lord, and you be in. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight, well, we're going to have a wonderful time in you because you are our focus. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that tonight, everybody that prays, their prayers will be answered. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that for all the testimonies tonight of your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Praise you, Father, for all that you accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the great bold faith you've given us, and that doubt and unbelief is out the window in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Yeah, Missy.
Merle and I were doing outside work today, mowing the lawn and trimming, and because we got a new battery operated trimmer. Thank you, Lord. anyway, and we were just doing stuff, random different things. Anyway, I walked across the yard. For some reason, I don't remember why I did, and I saw this hole. The other day we have chipmunks, and they make holes in the ground, and then yellow jackets make nests. They go in those holes and they make nests. And so I found one. There's one the other day, so I got my spraying foam stuff and squirted it. We filled in a bunch of holes and put some grass seed down and stuff. We got these rocks, river rocks that we're trying to get rid of out front, and we just got some of the smaller ones and stuff them in. Anyway, I saw another one today, and I didn't see any bees hovering around it or anything. And I thought, I wonder how far that goes down in, So I got a stick maybe this long, maybe about 8 inches long, and I stuck it down in there. And I pulled it out and I stuck it down in again a little further. And then I pulled it out and then I saw a couple bees come out. I'm like, oh no. And I backed off and then all these bees, I backed way off and all these bees came out swarming around. And I'm like, I was like, I went over and I told Merle across the yard what happened. I said, thank you, Lord, that I didn't get nailed. I was like, thank you, God. I mean, that had to
Amen.
be the Lord's protection on me. I mean, because they were swarming around for a while, hovering over the hole, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was like, okay,
But
we gotta spray that one and stuff it with rocks and
were they little
thank you.
yellow striped bees?
I didn't stick around very long to really see.
Okay.
But
I
when
don't
I
know.
saw a couple come out, I'm like, uh-oh. And then I backed off, and then a whole
Uh-oh. She got caught in a bad place. I wish I could take a picture of that. All right. You locked up there for a minute.
But anyway, thank you.
You locked up with your mouth open.
What did you, could you hear me continue to talk though?
No. Praise the Lord. No, we couldn't hear you.
Well, last summer, I got nailed by 5 bees and that was not fun. Trying to mow, and anyway, I kind of like stopped and was pointing it out to Merle, and that was too close, and bam.
Amen. Oh,
Lord, for saving me.
Sounds like those are ground wasp, yellow jackets.
Yeah.
I ran into some of them today. Brandy got hit 3 or 4 times before we could get out of that.
That's a bummer. Thank you, Lord, that all that sting is gone and no swelling on Brandy. And
amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing everything.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Phil.
I'm just claiming the victory on the sale of that little Focus. It's done in the name of Jesus. Somebody's going to buy it quickly and no issues whatsoever.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That thing's going to be out the yard when we get up there tomorrow night.
It's done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, if we have a meeting tomorrow night. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, my house is always open.
I know. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing that house. All right. Anyone else? Y'all want to get your spirit stirred up? I'm just asking. Well, I got something I want to play, if that's all right with y'all. It's not a praise song, but it's something to stir your spirit up.
Do you see a declaration of war there? Absolutely. There is no substitute for victory. And in the Bible, Christians have one aim: victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. We are here for total victory through the authority of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about powers and principalities in the heavenlies. There are supernatural beings that have structure and order who are under the command of the Prince of Darkness. Prayer is the weapon that God has given to His children to wage war in the heavenlies. And if you really get in a heavyweight fight, you're going to meet these people. And the way that you meet them is in the authority of Jesus' name. You bind them in your family. You bind them from your children. You bind them from your business. You bind them from your future. And you do so in the authority of Jesus' name. I am the Son of the Living God. I have defeated death, hell, and the grave. I've taken the keys from you, and I have given it to the church triumphant. These people are covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Set them free. They belong to me. Jesus is saying the government of the kingdom of darkness will never affect the righteous because I have defeated them. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church triumphant. He has broken the chain of sin and misery and announced, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Holy One who's going to sit on the throne of his father David in the city of Jerusalem. He's the one who's going to rule the nation with a rod of iron. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Is your marriage under attack? Pray. Is your child being tormented by the Prince of Darkness? Pray. Are you fighting a dreaded disease? Pray. Are you lost and without God? Pray. Is your life empty? Pray. Is your life meaningless and hopeless? Pray. The tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Why pray? Because anointed prayer raises above the need level. God is sitting in heaven saying, pray to me. Ask me for great things. Ask me to pull down strongholds. Ask me to break Satan's grip over your job, over your family. Elevate your prayer lift from now I lay me down to sleep to spiritual warfare. Go to war in the authority of Jesus' name. When you pray, ask God for big things. Ask God for big things. Nothing is impossible with God. Ask Him to defeat the giants in your life. When you have a big need, ask big. Ask Him to send fire from heaven. Ask Him to walk you through the fiery furnace. Ask Him. He's the God who cannot fail. Ask Him to send revival to America. Ask Him for a righteous revolution. Ask Him for righteousness that exalts a nation. Mark 11:22. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. God is not a statue of stone or wood. He speaks, He talks, He thinks, He feels your infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He is in this place. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, He is in this place. The victory is ours through Christ the Lord. Stop complaining about the attacks on your life by the prince of darkness. Attack him. Bind him in the authority of Jesus' name. Put your foot on the head of the devil and watch him squirm. The victory is ours through Christ the Lord. Satan is a defeated foe. Think like it. Talk like it. Act like it. Pray like it. The victory is ours. John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a pantheon of gods. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, our Father which art in heaven. That's the God we're talking to. That's why when we pray, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's only one God that answers to that. Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He is the only one.
Thank you, Father. Somebody give me a sword. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Let me close out. All right. Anybody get fired up? You go after them every day. I did. I'm going after them every day. That devil ain't going to get no slack coming out this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a God. What is wrong? You look good, Andrea. Amen. All right. All right. Everybody got anything I'd like to share? All right. Anything? I thank you, Lord, you have paved the way for each one of us to have the victory over the enemy at all times. And I praise you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching each and every one of us to draw that sword out every morning and go after the devil with what we have, and that is you. And that's the most powerful weapon that we have in the universe. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that tomorrow's going to be an awesome day. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody's got the victory. Anybody not have the victory? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Praise God, we all got the victory, don't we? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. My. Okay. Does anybody got anything they want to talk about? Worry about. Give us a testimony and praise report. How many of you know the enemy's camp is destroyed? Glory to God. The enemy camp is destroyed. Their mouths have been bound. And people's lives are being changed because of it. We praise you, Father, for setting the captives free, Lord of God. All of them. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Well, if no one really has anything to share, I'll bring up my little get together that I had with Karen yesterday. I'm trying to emphasize that what happens to us spiritually will manifest itself to the physical. And so I said, well, what's a broken arm? And she said, well, it's a broken arm. And I'm like, is it really? Is that it? And I'm really trying to show her, like, that there's a spiritual realm and the physical realm. And then by the end of it, she was a little confused. I think I threw a little bit too much at her, and she couldn't really keep up because I threw in a lot of verses. And again, it doesn't translate 100% into her Spanish thinking sometimes, but I know it's the Lord's will that will work into her to show her these things. And I don't know. I just thought it was a very memorable experience because, I don't know, it just was something God that showed me, something that God showed me. That's just like, it's got to be him working into her. It's, again, it's a spiritual thing, not just me physically telling her. So I kind of just taught myself. It's like, it's nothing that I'm saying, but it's what God's saying. But I'm planting that seed. And yeah. And her little brother Juan. Yeah, he's not so little. He's over 6'3". He's pretty tall. I keep mentioning to read Romans chapter 6, 1 John, the book of James, and he is reluctant in doing that. So I'll ask for prayer for that. But he's also stuck, and I'll no judgment in this because it used to be me as well. He's very much addicted to video games. And that stuff fries your brains. I have firsthand experience with that. And I don't know if it's something that I should bring up with him because, you know, he's still fairly young and he's still very young in the Lord, and he got over marijuana and he sort of left that behind. So I think that's a huge jump. But I really want to emphasize a little bit more, but without being judgmental, because I don't want to like pressure it on him. So I think if we can pray for that, for him to get off video games now.
Yeah.
I'd like, pray. Can I start?
You can start. Yeah.
Lord, Father God, I put Juan at the altar toward you again. Thank you, Father, for saving him from the spirit of marijuana and addiction to marijuana, Lord, and that you're working through him in a mighty way.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, I ask that you expose more darkness that's within his heart that he can walk past with your strength. Lord God, show him the evilness of video games, get him out of that chair and into more holy and righteous acts of loving and worshiping and reading about you, Lord. Get him invested in your word, because your word is truth and truth is the way, and you are the way, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Lord, I hear that this one also has a musical instrument.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that he would learn how to sing some good worship songs toward you. Spend his time that way also. We often wasted our time in our youths, but he's actually learning something that he could that he could use to glorify you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, Phil, go ahead.
I just want to pray for Juan. Father, I just pray and ask that you's putting him a new realization of how valuable his time is, Lord. How precious little time we have on this earth. And just give him the lack of desire to even load these games, you know, Lord, because I used to play games and there is nothing you benefit from. There's no benefit. The time is gone. You may have beat the game, but you got nowhere. You just lost the time. That's it. Father, I just pray that you show that to him and just wake him up and he'll be a new person, Father. And I praise you for that. You're going to either show him in a dream like you did to Ben, or just one day he's going to say, forget it. I'm going to sell my PC or whatever it is that he uses. And we just call him into the kingdom. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Lord, you said in John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In the name of Jesus, right now, I break the power of video games, this addiction to video games, off of this young man right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for giving him a dream, a vision, or anything that'll put his focus upon you. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe you're going to do it very soon in the next day or so. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for doing that for this young man. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn or Barry.
Okay. Ben, I wanted to ask you, does he have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
No, he does not. I think he received an anointing, but I don't think he's been baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, praise God. Well, Father, we also agree with everything that's already been prayed here, and we know that it's already being done. We also bind up the power of the spirits of entertainment, the spirits of escapism, and distractions. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And this is just another leg of that spirit of addiction. And so that spirit of addiction is as it's been bound and rooted out with the marijuana, that it's bound and rooted out with the video games and in any other areas where it might be trying to creep in and get a hold on him. And Father, we pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Juan as well. Father, we bind these things, whatever things we bind on earth are bound in heaven, but also whatever things we loose on earth are loosed in heaven. And Lord, we loose that outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon him in a mighty, mighty way. Father, you know how to do it. Sometimes it's just such a profound touch of your love. Sometimes it's the fear of the Lord. Sometimes it's just a spirit of repentance, conviction of sin. However you need to minister to Juan, you know how to do it. We just loose that spirit upon him in a mighty, mighty way. And not only is Holy Spirit going to move upon him, and help him to repent and believe, but also he's going to be desiring the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's just a completely new creation in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I thank you for doing that, Father, for one. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. All right, anyone else? Hey, Pat. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So, hi, everybody. I had a bit of a breakthrough today. I mean, it wasn't, I wasn't walking on water yet or anything like that, but it was, it was kind of interesting. And so I'm going to, I want to kind of tell some background and then just read a prayer that the Lord gave me today. Cause I'm going to say that I have a tendency to, I don't know if it's in, management or being a superintendent and you're running 10 or 12 or 15 crews or whatever it would be. And you're into coordination and you're always dealing with details and, you have to bring specific trades together that, their particular task, connects up with another, trade, you know, like, roofing connects with carpentry and, a metal panel system connects to, you know, a stucco, place someplace in the building. And there's all kinds of details that, that are in a lot of these, drawings. And, you know, a lot of the, inherent in the construction business, I'm probably elaborating too much, basically, but they throw these projects together so quickly that they literally throw out drawings, architects throw out drawings, get them out for bid and to get prices in. And we actually bid and get the project going on 50% documentation, meaning that 50% of the details on the drawings are just vaguely thrown in there, like finishes and various other things. And we'll get to the details later. What that means is that you start the process, you get, you know, the building or the project moving, and then they continue to design the building as, or the project as you're already going down the road, so to speak. So in a way, the pressure that it leaves on you is much like you have constructed and built a locomotive and you're already moving to the destination, and up ahead of you a certain distance the crews are still building the tracks, but you're pouring on the steam in expectation that those tracks are going to be completed by the time you get there. And so part of my job obviously is to look far enough up the track to make sure that this whole thing doesn't derail and I'm able to make course corrections, et cetera. So that's kind of a little bit of a background. But the problem, is that I'm say this is an internal, I don't know if it's a problem or a gift or both. But I tend to, just due to the fact that a lot of details are not complete, I tend to examine those particular details and help to identify and correct and provide solutions and this and that in order to keep the crews moving. Because if you take and you send that question to the design team and the architect, you have to expect a month long process of back and forth questions and this and that. And again, I'm sorry if I'm overwhelming the conversation here, but what happened is that I had two or three details that came together that we couldn't figure out in the field. We couldn't, the design professionals came to the field and they kind of threw it back on us, and we had to kind of get with the contractors and ask everybody to scratch their head. How are we going to overcome this and that? And it has, nobody's had any ideas. Nobody's had any solutions. Where everybody's had some good thoughts here and there. And it's been so laboring, mentally laboring, that, you know, it's one of those issues that we just set to the side and we're going to get to it next week and get this resolved, because the crew isn't going to be in next week, so we can get it done then. Well, I've had two or three of those particular unsolvable problems that were upon me. And for added extra information, next week I'm on vacation, so I'm probably not going to be on the Zoom call next week. However, so I knew I had to get these things resolved today or tomorrow. And it dawned on me this morning that there is no amount, that there's not going to be any amount. There's too many different forces involved in order to get the design professionals in on a meeting, and the contractors and us, and try to come up and solve this thing on paper and emails back and forth. It's not, I realized it is not going to happen unless something else comes into play here. And it dawned on me that I have to call upon the Lord to solve these issues for me, because I don't have the resources, and I don't know if anybody else has the resources. I know God has the resources, and he has them in this particular, in my field and in our environment here. The solution is out there somewhere, but I don't have the ability to get to it. And that was the pressure that I was feeling. And it was, let me just put it this way. In the analogy I used of the train locomotive going down the track, I was looking out the front of the engine there, and I could see there was no track ahead next week. And I had to have that track, and I have to have it down before I leave. Anyway, in the midst of that environment, it just dawned on me, I have to obtain the resources that God's given me here, and I have to do it without understanding the solution. I have to somehow just trust God to provide that solution for me, and then I'm sure I'll get the understanding afterwards. And again, I tend to want to understand all these details and get them down so I can give proper direction to everybody. It's not going to happen this time. So I sit down and I started writing a prayer, and I'm going to read this prayer because it was very, the Lord gave me very specifics to pray about that. And it was basically wrapped it around the scripture, Mark 11:24-25. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against anyone, that your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. And forgive me, I used the wrong scripture, because there was another scripture that said, and when you stand before this mountain, you cast that mountain down, basically. And that was the gist of it. So I realized that the only way this problem is going to be solved, these problems and issues and details are going to be solved in a timely fashion, is if God intervenes in this situation and makes it happen. So I put a couple of these things together, but I realized that I had to speak. And so my prayer this morning was, in the name of Jesus, I speak grace to this mountain of unbelief, doubt, faction, bitterness, unforgiveness, rebellion, people resisting me to do the things that I'm telling them to do, etc. And I and all the opposition within them, and cast it into the sea. I pronounce freedom in Christ to be raised up. I send forth the angels as we have been taught to do, to implement the requirements of this prayer for the glory of God, our Father in heaven. For the problems on my job, I have concluded that the solutions will not come by my ability to coordinate, motivate, or require the different contractors to provide the solutions to the issues that face the construction elements of our project that have stopped us. I realized this morning that this is not up to me, but I have the authority to command it to be done, whether I understand it or not. I will understand the solution after it is provided. I command the mountain of unbelief, resistance, discouragement, disillusionment, and all other opposition, inner and outer, that is preventing the parties involved with the window details at the south metal panel system, where it meets the roof, and where the window system meets the metal system, to be cast into the sea. And I command the valley of cooperation, unity, creativity to be unleashed in all these parties, to provide a constructible and aesthetically pleasing solution to satisfy all parties involved. I apply this same prayer to the ephus framing and blocking detail on the north vestibule, as well as I send forth the angels to implement this solution, the solutions required for this prayer and all parties in a timely fashion, so as to satisfy the scheduled concerns of all these in Jesus' name. And I repeated a line within a song that I think it's a Lion of Judah or something like that. Mountains be made low, valleys be raised up. Again, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask and believe you have received them, ye shall have them. So I'm making this confession tonight specifically because of that, of what I prayed this morning, because I believe it is done. I believe that, number one, there's nothing that I could do or anyone else could do to make it happen, but I believe God has done it. He sent forth the angels to make that happen, and so I'm resting in that. Now, as kind of an update, we had a meeting in today. My day on Thursday is full of meetings. So we had a meeting with the envelope consultant, one of the design team people, and the metal panel system. And we actually discussed this particular detail that I'm was referring to, and it was agreed by all the parties, including the architect, we'll meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 and we'll look at this detail and resolve it and come up with a conclusion with all the parties involved. So I will say the ball is rolling already. So I intend that by the end of the day tomorrow, all these issues and problems will be resolved or put in a place where it can be accomplished in a proper fashion. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Pat, and we're going to hear the great report, the great testimony of your glory and your favor upon Patrick. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. I believe it. We're going to hear a good testimony. Thank you, Lord. That track's going to be laid and he's going to shoot right through there. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Isaac. Or Mariano.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's good to see y'all. Hey, I wanted to give a testimony about something we prayed about there, Michael, a few weeks ago, and maybe it's being.
Uh-oh. I think I muted you rather than dropped your hand, Isaac. Sorry. Isaac?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I muted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't mind. Sometimes I need that.
Well, I did mistakenly. It was
the well, like I was saying, we prayed about this a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to give a testimony. Also, you know that I hope it'll bless Pat too. Like I say, you know, our project's kind of small scale to kind of his scope what he's got going on, but nonetheless, you know. Anyway, so. Y'all remember praying about that big conveyor rebuild we had to do at work?
Yep.
And right. So first and foremost, I'll go ahead and cut to the chase. It was just amazing. Worked out great. I mean, so good. The amps are lower. It's a more rigid system. The guys literally worked, only had three guys working on it, and they put in about 120 hours in a week. That's not kidding you. It was too much. I didn't expect it of them. I told them go home. But they didn't want to. They wanted to do this, and it's what they did. Anyways, so I just kind of was there with them to support them. I didn't work 120, but I did do about 95. And, you know, I just kind of felt like it's my responsibility to be, at least be there. So long story short, and how this all began was, this was a project. See, the company's a Japanese company. Well, we have these meetings, with the Japanese, and I can tell you, they really didn't want to do this project. They were really pretty much against it from day one, as they're supposed to help me order and, get quotes for all the equipment. And I knew they were dragging their feet. But they're just, I guess, more political on how they, rather than saying no by just postponing everything. So I just did it myself. I just went and started gathering quotes and doing things myself and whatever. And there was a lot of roadblocks. We didn't really have as much support as I would have wanted. But typically what I've seen is most companies won't have their employees do a job like this. Not this massive of a scale. Because if it didn't work, we wouldn't have produced a single part out of that place. Not a single starter. And so usually you contract that out. That way you can get lost time or lost product off the company insurance purposes. So it was kind of a testament to say that even though they maybe weren't in our favor, they still allowed us to do it. You know what I mean? That's kind of saying something in itself if you look at it both ways. But it was just the Lord really came through. These guys prayed about it. And some of these guys are pretty ornery at times, but they were telling me, yeah, I've been praying about this project. I don't know. The Lord just put in their hearts, and it just worked out so well. And it was told to me, actually it was told to the guys, because one of the guys went up and asked the managers, like the big head honchos, and they the head honcho told him, hey, we don't think you're going to get the project done. Just plain and simple. We don't think you will. And so that really kind of bothered them and motivated them even more. And so, well, it did get done and better than expected, done sooner than expected. And I'm just really thankful about that because I really didn't have much to do with it other than just kind of coordinate it and, you know, order everything. They did the work. And I don't know. I just feel like I've been blessed to be around guys that work so hard. I wouldn't ever expect this of them. I don't ever want to be that way, but it really worked out and it seemed like an impossible task. I want to say this one last thing and I'll be done here. When I was an electrician back at a, I used to work for a company called Kroger. We manufactured ice cream and soda pop. It was just a manufacturing site. And I've seen a complete conveyor overhaul. Like, it's not like they're just rebuilding it. Like, this is a redesign. They did a redesign. But the engineering department never brought in a single maintenance person nor electrician to know what problems we encounter, to get, you know, ground level perspective, which you should always do that, in my opinion. But it was, hey, we're engineers, we don't need your help. Well, that project flopped, and they lost more than they lost more than 50% of all productivity. They actually they pretty much all got fired, including the plant manager. And I remember thinking to myself when I was, this was in 2017. I remember thinking to myself, if I was ever in those shoes, I'll remember to let the guys that are on the ground floor who know more tell me what we need to do. And I want to thank the Lord, that it's, I'm not, that he's still working with me, to, you know, to humble me. And that's a process as well. But I really, through this whole, so many months of planning, just said, well, guys, what do y'all think? What do y'all think? And it's not to, not to me, because I've been overconfident, over arrogant at times too, and made terrible decisions. But I just thank the Lord that he kept putting it on my heart this whole entire time. Just let him do it. I'm with him. And so like I say, I didn't really have too much to do with it. And I don't know, but for me, it's just a testimony, and it blesses me. And I, you know, and the Lord also knows how to build camaraderie between coworkers, because I think that's really been established pretty well. And I'm just really thankful that he guided me, and I really didn't have to do too much. I don't know. To me, that's the most coolest part of all of this. Anyways, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for good Christian men that are part of your team. Praise you, Father, for doing that. Glory to God. Yeah, Patrick.
So, Isaac, I just got a question. How does somebody work 120 hours? Is that like 20 hours, 18 hours a day for 7 days a week?
Yeah, well, it's probably not really completely legal. You know, you're supposed to be like 16 at most, right? Some of these guys, they stay a little later than they should. You know, I don't bother telling them, you know, they kind of make their own decisions. But I will say this to clarify even more. A lot of those hours are calculated, because once I don't get this treatment, obviously I'm salary, but they also get double time, right? So it accumulates to hours. But to make it make sense, I would say every day was pretty much 16, and there were like I think there's like a 18 hour day, and I feel terrible about it. I feel terrible for them, but you know, that's obviously not a standard. But I don't know. They're just driven. I tell them go home and said, man, we want to get this done. I'm like, okay, you know, just be safe. But it was kind of something, really.
Wow, that's crazy. I remember, of course, this is when I was younger, but I was in the telephone business at the time. And we were installing a system in a grocery store, and it had to be turned over. In other words, we were cutting off the old one and switching over to the new one. And this is probably had 75 or 80 phones in the offices and all over that place. And I literally stayed up, I think it was 37 hours straight. And I don't know how people do that. I mean, I was a walking zombie at about 36 hours, and I literally couldn't go any longer and had to just go home and collapse. But I don't know how people do that. My daughter is a nurse and she does these straight through three shifts at a time all the time. I just don't, anyway. So that was a question I had. How do you, I mean, that's got to be literally 18 hours a day and, you know, 4 hours sleep, one meal and whatever. That's pretty rough. Anyway.
Yep. Done many of those. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful people that we work with. Thank you, Lord, that every one of our Christians, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. I do want to pray. We, David and I and Brandy have a little project tomorrow. And it's going to just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that all the parts are going to be available. Every part is going to be available that we need. We thank you, Lord, that the contractor is going to come on time. Get through before he said, and I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everything's going to hook up like it's supposed to, and we are not going to have any kind of leak or anything like that. And it's not going to take near as long as we think, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Praise you, Father, for this Christian man that's going to come help us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing Buck, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Y'all ready to do some more Sovereign God? Let's do some more Sovereign God. I want to go to chapter 13, Authority in Prayer. Authority in Prayer. Chapter 13 of Sovereign God. Yeah. I'm glad those days are over. It seems like I work more now than they did back when I was working. Chapter 13, Authority in Prayer, Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Sometimes, David said, we cannot think of a verse on which to base a particular prayer request. That's where all encompassing promises such as this one come in. Jesus passed on his authority in prayer by the promises that he spoke. Matthew 18:19, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose or permit on earth shall be loosed or permitted in heaven. Should we think it dangerous for God to give such authority unto men? Not at all. Most Christians have not put enough word in their heart to believe these promises. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A person has to have a renewed mind to believe this without being double-minded. If he has a renewed mind of Christ, he is totally dependable and subservient to Christ. Also, faith is a gift of God, and you will find that your faith will not go where God does not want you. Job 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. When I was a baby Christian, I loved the word and was convinced that it was all true. Before any religious folks got to me to tell me that I could not believe these things, I started exercising them. When these people did speak to me, it was too late. I had discovered the power. Glory to God. So we do not have to be in the Lord for years to exercise faith. We must be convinced that what we read once is the word of a totally faithful God. Stay away from those leaders who have been in the Lord, so-called, for many years and still don't believe these verses. Many of these ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth will stay double-minded all their powerless lives. Has anybody got any comments or any questions on what we just read? Pretty straightforward, right? Did you have something, Andrew? Okay. New Testament prayer should not be confused with Old Testament prayer. In the Old Testament, David prayed evening and morning and at noonday, and Daniel prayed upon his knees three times a day, facing the temple in Jerusalem. We don't have to pray toward the temple. We are the temple. We carry the Lord with us in every place and situation, which is where prayer is needed. And this is also why we are told to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We need to pray when we see the need and while the burden is upon us. Much of what is taught about prayer today is an Old Testament relationship with God. We should not wait legalistically until night or morning when we are tired and trying to remember what to pray for. This is not an effectual fervent prayer that abideth much. James 5:16. This does not mean that we cannot take time out every day to concentrate only on prayer. God's plan for spiritual men who have the Holy Spirit is to be in constant communication with him. Otherwise, we treat him as baggage, ignoring him without ceasing. And that's not why we became his temple. Prayer without ceasing necessitates us praying in our minds sometimes. He hears us just as well, by the way. First Chronicles 28:9. Is that right? 1 Chronicles. That's what I thought. The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. In heaven, thoughts are audible to the mind. We now can practice fellowship with God and pray about everything without ceasing. And as the song says, how much needless grief we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. How many of you would like to know what God's thinking? Yeah. Well, let me look here just a minute. I ran across one the other day. Let me find it here. I believe it's in let's see. Yeah. Look at 1 John 2:20. This might be a revelation to some of you, if not all of you. 1 John 2:20. It says this, and ye have an anointing from the Holy One. Now check out the next little portion here. And you know all things. and you know all things. Now, what does that mean? You know what it is? Who's in us? Christ is in us. Christ knows all things. And that's why he asks us to ask him for the things that we need. If you need wisdom, he has all wisdom, right? And if you need to know something, Patrick, Isaac, are any of y'all still working? Guess what? He's got all knowledge. He says we know all things because we have Christ in us. And he knows it all. And all we have to do is ask him. And he'll let you know. He'll give it to you. We have the knowledge of the universe right here. Does anybody not believe that? That's the word of God. All right, I just thought I'd throw that in there. We know everything there is to know about it, everything there is to know about it. Glory to God. And that's an awesome thing. Boy, that's pretty, David. All right, let's see. Where was I? The prayer of faith, is that right? No, wait a minute. Jesus gave us authority in three different kinds of prayer. We have examples in the scriptures of the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, and the prayer of importunity. The prayer of faith is the most common prayer for the mature Christian who prays without ceasing. Believing that you received is the key to the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. If possible, be convinced of God's word and pray the prayer of faith, believing you have received, because one day there may not be time to pray through. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is assurance or substance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. All prayer must be concluded with faith, because that is the substance from which the desired need is made. We give God the substance, he gives us the answer. The reason Jesus said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, is because all of our provision was accomplished at the cross. If you'll notice in the following verses that all things have been received and that the only thing left is for us to believe it. And also notice the past tense of our sacrificial provisions in the following verses, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body, by whose stripes ye were healed. Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. 2 Corinthians 5:18, who reconciled us to himself. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse. 1 Peter 1:3, the Father begat us again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:10, we have been sanctified. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and God hath granted unto us all things. Jesus told us in his day, which of course is also in the past, that now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Boy, the God, he's cast out. And then, Job 12:31, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then Job 16:33. No, that's John. That's John. It is finished. And this is why we are to believe we have received. The devil and the curse were conquered. We were saved, healed, delivered, and provided for. Glory to God. Did y'all see all of the promises that God gave us just in that one paragraph? My goodness gracious sakes alive. Ought not to be any lack in this group. Ought not to be anything. Anybody got any comments on what we just read? That's a, that is a, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
There's a really good one in Ephesians 3 and 12. And I think that one says, in whom we have boldness with confidence. How does it go? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith. So it's by that new life in us that we have faith, and we have faith that we have the new life in us. Because he called us. So that's a real cool one. I remember writing that one down and putting it on my desk beside my bed on a sheet of paper that I, when I had a printer, it worked. Now it's all dried up. But, you know, I remember when we studied boldness, you know, but it's not our boldness at all. It's from the Lord. And it's his faith. It's not our faith. And the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So that's a really good verse, I think, you know. And all the other ones were excellent, too, and that's past tense, too. Yeah.
There's a bunch of them in there that gives us the wherewithal to walk this walk that he got us on, isn't it? I like that, Ephesians 3 and 12, in whom we have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in him. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 10:10, we have been sanctified. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Then in Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Then in 2 Peter 1:3, hath granted unto us all things. All things. We got everything we need to walk this, all we got to do is believe. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I receive every promise that you got. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to remember these things. Every time a problem rises up, I don't have to worry about nothing because you've already taken care of it. Thank you, Lord, that it is done. Every circumstance that comes around us, Lord, we're not going to go by what our senses tell us. We're going to go by what your word said, the truth. You know what the truth is? What's the truth? It's not what you see or hear or taste or smell or hit or look at, is it? Or touch. It's what the word of God says. That's the truth right there. Boy, if we can ever get that down in our spirit, that devil wouldn't have a chance. You know, we're going to be able to walk. I think we talked about it a little bit the other night. We're going to be able to walk around, and the Lord's going to be saying, man, I just sure do thank you for walking down here like my son, and you are my son, and doing the things that I want you to do. Boy, to God. Well, Lord, I just thank you for your promises that you gave us that we can do that. Because I know you're going to back up your word by backing us up when we declare and decree things according to your promises. Amen. Thank you, Father, for all the testimonies we're going to have and already have. Yeah, go ahead, Ben, Andrew.
I always thought the truth was supposed to live in us. So, you not hear me?
Yeah, what'd you say? The truth is what?
It's supposed to live in us. It's supposed to be in us. You know, no one comes unto the Father but by me, he said. And he called us. So what he gave us and what we have written on our epistle that we're all supposed to be known and read about, and we have the same epistle as those Corinthians did, and that's written upon our hearts by the Spirit of God, and it circumcised our, it reconciled us, and it was our cross for some of us that we had to go through to get it too. So I'm just getting me going on how excited this good news is. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, me too, Andrew. How many of you get your spirit stirred up when you understand who you are in Christ? You're a new creation, brand new. That old man's gone. That's God. You walking around like Jesus then. Cause you understand and know and put your word in your mind and have brought down all those old strongholds that we used to have, and you're walking like Jesus. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Patrick.
I was listening to the message podcast on the way to work today, and I was thinking about some of these scriptures, like this particular scripture, you know, Jesus saying, "It is finished. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And I think in that same verse in Hebrews 14 there, I think before that it says, by one sacrifice. And so it was, as I was thinking about that, that means that Jesus perfected, he completed the work. And that completion of that work was not just in him, it was in us. Because he perfected them that are sanctified in one work on the cross. And I got to thinking, because I think David was teaching about, maybe it was Romans 7, if I'm not mistaken, about the battle going back and forth. And I think of Paul when he mentions in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified in Christ, nevertheless I live, but yet Christ liveth in me. And I got to thinking about, so what was completed then, if we were perfected or completed at the cross, that means that all of our sins were forgiven. And the sin nature that, and of course I'm just spitballing, but this is what I was thinking about. The sin nature, which is that latent, spirit or nature of iniquity within us, that is constantly dwells within us in order to be the proper environment that if we are tempted in the right ways, this nature of iniquity within us jumps up, empowers or is empowered to motivate a sinful desire within us. And if it is allowed to proceed, it ends up or results in sin. And I think I read about that a long time ago, about the Bible speaking about two forms of sin, one being sins committed, which can and have to be forgiven, confessed and forgiven, and iniquity, the sin of iniquity or the sin nature, which in fact can't be forgiven because it hasn't committed any sins yet, any outward manifestation of immoral or unlawful behavior or whatever. It's simply an environment within our heart that supports all the necessary inner support to provide motivation for us to decide to sin, etc. So I say all that to say that whole nature within there, that sinful nature, was nailed to the cross. So if it was nailed to the cross, what do we feel or sense within us that has taken its place to produce that same effect within us? Because everyone that sins, there's the temptation that comes in, and then there's the inner influence to cooperate with that temptation. And again, if we do that, it will ultimately result in a sinful activity or a sinful manifestation that requires confession and forgiveness. But if that inner motivating factor that we call the sin nature has been annihilated, crucified, killed, what is it that remains that's still in there that has taken its place? Because the Lord God nailed it to a cross within us. It's no longer there. It doesn't exist. Now, if somebody has a different thought on that, let me know. But I believe it's been annihilated, lost, completely disabled and destroyed, killed on the cross. That being said, the only thing that can remain is the, in my opinion, the residual memory of that nature, where that nature used to reside, and that nature used to reside in our soul. And if that is just, I don't know if I'm over elaborating on this or not or whatever, but if the sin nature is gone, we're dealing with I think what maybe the scripture calls the mind of the flesh. And it's not the sin nature, but the remnants of the memory of the soulful memory or programming that sinful nature implanted and left upon our soul. So, I don't know if that muddies the water, or if somebody has something to say in form of correction. But this is just kind of what I was thinking about today, in that if we agree with God, and we obviously should, that truth, that reality, that sinful nature has been eradicated on the cross, then whether we understand it or not, I'm going back to what I kind of saw this morning, whether we understand it or not is irrelevant to it being true. And I guess where it leaves me is that I simply have to trust God to supply whatever is necessary. My job is to simply believe it and open that door of belief and follow where it leads me into that room, and allow it to do, that truth to do within me what God wants to do with it. And I got this scripture today that, I forgot to write it down, but it was Jesus saying that, I am the door of the sheep. And I thought, I had to stop there and just think about that for a minute. It didn't say, I'm the doorway to get into the sheep. I'm the doorway that the sheep get in me, and maybe all of those things are true, but he said, I am the door of the sheep. And as I got to thinking about that, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And that door is the Word. And I got this picture of when we see a portion of God's Word, whether we understand it or not, and again, I always go towards the understanding first and let it take me where it needs to go, etc. But whether we understand it or not, I think Jesus wants us to take hold of that word and believe it, and in a picture, open that door. Open that door and walk into that room. Walk where that truth leads you in the spirit. And with me, especially when I don't understand a specific verse or something or a truth, and I end up walking into that room, so to speak, or that place, it's always dark. You're always without light, and you're always pounding around trying to figure out where the light is in this dark room, until God flips the light on you, you become enlightened and understand, and he puts understanding in that truth. So, sorry, I didn't mean to bloviate here or whatever, but that just kind of hit me this morning as I was driving to work. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're sanctified by faith. I'm just going to put it in simple terms. Oh, there's something that you were talking about there, Pat, that brought up something else in my mind. And that is, when sin forms in your thinking process, is it an automatic thing that we go ahead and sin, or do we have the will to cast it down. That's the question.
I believe the latter.
Yes. You can choose to be a thief or not. You can choose to walk like Christ with his help, of course, with his grace and his mercy, or not. You can choose to pray or not. You can choose to read the Word of God or not. And the reason I'm saying is, one reason, whatever is first and foremost on your mind is what you'll do. And I'm talking to myself too, if you want Jesus 100%, what's going to be on your mind? Jesus 100%. You're going to be thinking about him every day. You're going to be thinking about when you wake up in the morning. I've heard David say this, and it's true. When you're in tune with the Lord, you're going to wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus. Anybody got any elaboration on what I just said? Or any comments? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, we want righteousness.
Yep.
Righteousness is from the Lord, and it's a Holy Spirit conviction, as it says in the Word, in John 16:10. And you can either get convicted of sin, which we know we're not under, or the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, but he takes you like he took Jesus in chapter 4 of Matthew. The Holy Spirit took him out to be tempted in the garden. But Jesus didn't show up with sin. He showed up with righteousness. And he showed up with judgment because he's our righteous garment. He's our breastplate, and he's our righteous garment from head to foot. Snow White and even luminous. So we are depending on the inner man and the Spirit of God, which we know that God the Father is over all, in all, and through all. So we're dependent on God to and his Spirit, his omnipresent Spirit, to give us the righteousness when we need it, and to judge the. Because we're convicted by the Holy Spirit to judge something eternally, but we don't judge another person. We judge for our self wisdom. Our wisdom is good judgment that we get from the Holy Spirit, and wisdom is the Lord. So, and wisdom, of course, the Holy Spirit, because we know it's a glory and a lamp that shines in us. So. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we have a controlling element here that really works through us and does it, because we know the Word is the Spirit and the life. So the truth is the Spirit and the life. It even says the Spirit of truth, for the Holy Spirit one, in those chapters we all like to read in John. You know, so that's just exciting to if you're going to walk in the light as he is in the light, that light is the seven lights in that candle, in that lamp. But we know that it's the Spirit because it says so in Isaiah. So the light of the glory of wisdom is also Word, Spirit, and life for us, because that's the light in our soul. Because the light has to be in our soul place, because that's what it says in Hebrews about that lamp that's in the holy place. And it's that bread that's in the holy place. We put the bread upon our hearts to circumcise our hearts. So the righteous shall live by faith. You can read it each time you leave my front door, because it's written right above it. So that Holy Spirit conviction of righteousness is a huge thing. It really is. It made Jesus get the victory over the devil when he was tempted. And he was there. And righteousness is the Lord in us. So, praise God. It's just so many good things that you can have in this family of the Lord. One body. Wow. Oh, wow. Praise God. It's just, I can understand this crazy brain fog that we get sometimes. You go, where's that coming from? Better use the righteousness on it next time. Because it happens to me a lot, man. I'm just there. I'm just going, what is going on? What's going on? What am I supposed to do? I have nothing to do. What should I do now? And you know, it's just, I guess it's some sort of crazy temptation. And just sort of, I don't know. There's a fly away in the Proverbs you don't want. You don't want his glory to fly away from you a long way. And like in the book of Proverbs, there's a, you know, the wisdom makes itself wings and flies away. I forget how the verse goes, but you don't want that kind of fly away. You want to fly away when you're supposed to. According to the rapture resurrection, we all know what that is. So, and that's a word, that's a knowledge, and it's a spirit knowledge, and it's a righteousness on even how you fly away. So, anyway, I'm just getting a little too excited. So, praise God.
Amen. No, excited is good. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about what I was saying, and I a little bit ago about that the separation, the sin nature being crucified and killed, and therefore leaving us with the simple memory. In the flesh or in our soul. And I got to, and with that in mind, I got to reading this, which I'd like to just read. There in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that, I might add, that crucifixion and destruction of the sin nature, that completed work of life in Christ Jesus, hath freed thee from the law of sin and death. We're now free from that law. That law doesn't control us or have authority over us. For what the law could not do, the law of Moses, the law of trying to overcome through our own personal ability or strength or mind control or whatever it would be, what that law could not do wherein it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of flesh, the flesh of sin, and for sin. And I'm just thinking about that, that statement there, in the likeness of the flesh of sin and for sin. There's two There's another. There's two there. Condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that verse, I kind of like the King James version of that verse, because it, to me, it explains it a little bit more. But it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, those of the Spirit. And then this is the verse that I was thinking of. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity unto God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I don't want to belabor this point, but I think I'm getting a bit of an enlightenment as to what God, the Lord, is talking about here that I hadn't seen before. And I think it's based upon that very thing, that sinful nature was destroyed by Christ on the by God on the cross, and that we're dealing here with a soulful level programming, memory programming. It reminds me of the concept of a blood stain. The blood is no longer there, but the stain remains in the fabric. The actual cause is gone, but the stain still remains. And I think that's what we're dealing with. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm just having a little enlightenment thing happening here within me. Anyway, praise the Lord. Just saw something a little different today, I guess.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The prayer of faith is the most common prayer for the mature Christian who prays without ceasing. Believing that you received is the key to the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. If possible, be convinced of God's word and pray the prayer of faith, believing you have received, because one day there might not be time to pray through. I think we read this, didn't we? I'll go on to the next one. The reason Jesus said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. Well, I read that too, didn't I? Yeah, Missy.
You're at the next paragraph, redemption from the curse, I believe.
Yeah, I knew that. Redemption from the curse is, thank you. Redemption from the curse is truly finished. In fact, God's works were finished from the foundation of the world, Hebrews 4:3, when he spoke the plan into existence. The only thing left is for the true sons of God to enter into those works by faith, believing they have received. Since the works are finished, we should believe and rest from our own works to save, heal, and deliver ourselves. Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. That is a spiritual Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest, Greek sabbatismos, keeping of rest for the people of God. This constant keeping of rest every day through the past tense promises is our New Testament spiritual Sabbath. For he that has entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. This rest is to believe these past tense promises. So somebody explain to me what they just said in there. Did he just say that after we pray, that we are to rest in him and the promises and not try to help him out? Is that what he just got through saying? And how do we mess up and help him out sometimes? Go ahead, Ben.
I'd like to add on to that. Not only are we to rest by faith, knowing that he's done this work, but we should also thank him that it's already happened. Thank you, Father, for doing all this for us, because it's already done by faith. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. We should. That means you're in the rest when you do that, because you already know it's done. You know, can I tell you what John Lake said about healing? Let me tell you a little bit of something, what he said about healing. He said, if you believe the word of God is the word of God, and you look down the street and you saw Jesus going into a doctor's office, what would you think about Jesus? Yeah, Andrew.
I think he's going into the doctor's office to heal some people.
Amen. Yeah. But you would think that was odd, though, if you saw him going into a doctor's office. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, for you, I would think he doesn't. He's a hypocrite. He doesn't practice what he preaches, and that he's a fraud.
Yeah. So what do you think God looks at when we call ourselves a Christian and we try to get something by man? Yeah, I did, Pat. But what do you think God looks at when we resort to the flesh? And resort back to the flesh rather than believe God. I believe he's disappointed. And I just use that as a glaring example of hypocrisy, like Missy was talking about. You're never going to see Jesus walk into a doctor's office unless he's going to do what Andrew and Benjamin said, going in there to heal everybody. But that, I said that to show you what God wants us to do. He wants us to rest on the promises that he's given us and not worry about if he's going to do it or if he's not going to do it, because he already told you he was going to do it. And if he told you he's going to do it, then bless God, it's going to be done. I think I related this the other night. David and I both, this has been a few years back, were praying for this young lady that was, had some demons. And, we'd cast them out, you know, in the name of Jesus, come out of her, in the name of Jesus. Then she'd say, well, it came up, but then it went back down. It came up and it went back down. She kept on doing that and doing that and doing that. Finally, David got up. He said, I'm tired. Let's go home. That demon's been cast out. And then we didn't even get off the start. We didn't even get off the porch before she come running out there and saying it. They left. That's the rest that God wants us in. He don't want us to sit there and argue and believe something different than what the word of God says. He wants us to go ahead and believe, and that's it. It's done. declare and decree it, it's done. Praise God. That's the rest he wants us in, to believe that God is already taken care of. And I think we even mentioned the other night, during that time that we did all those deliverances, they liable to be immediate. Most of the time, they're just immediate. You know, I found this out over the years, delivering people and praying for people. It's what you believe in your mind. If you believe it's going to be a progressive healing or deliverance, then that's what you're going to get. But if you believe it's going to be an instantaneous healing, that's what you're going to get. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? A progressive means, well, it's going to happen sometime between now and whatever. But if you believe, bless God, when I command that thing to come out, it's coming out. It's going to come out. Or I bless God, when I pray for them, put my hands on them. I'm talking about you. Put my hands on them and put the healing power of God to them. They're going to be healed right there. And then most of the time, that's the way it'll be. But the God wants us to endure in our faith. When you pray for that, for healing for someone, to stay there until it's done. Do you see some manifestation? Most of the time, a lot of time. Yeah, George.
You just reminded me of a friend of mine who prays for people a lot and gets a lot of healings. And he was talking to this lady and he prayed with her and said, "You're healed." And she argued with him and said, "No, I ain't. I'd know if I was healed. No, I ain't healed, blah, blah, blah." Started getting on his nerves and he yelled at her over the phone, said, "I said, you are healed." And she started laughing and she manifested healing and she said, "I am healed, blah, blah, blah." She went off for a little while and he apologized for yelling at her, told her he got in the flesh. And she said, "No, no, I am healed. You know, she was trying to talk herself out of it, and he was adamant in his faith that, you know, his track record or whatever you want to call it, his relationship with the Lord, you know, it's let's get them healed and move on, not get argued with. But what you said also about resting, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were laughing. I said, Jesus had 11 disciples and a Judas. I said, and I've worked in these jobs where I've had 11 Judases and looking for a disciple. And I was the one paying them their 30 pieces of silver. And that I've learned, you know, there's been some that I try to turn around and get them on board with a successful career. And they just act like they know everything. And it's almost like throwing pearls before swine. And you try to have patience with them. And then you start building a case. It's like, well, everybody on the team is up in arms and fed up with stupidity and laziness and all these things. And me being the boss, I got to deal with it. So I start kind of, you know, trying to shape it a little differently. You know, I don't take everybody's accusations to heart because I got to, you know, deal with everybody fairly. And I try to give people the benefit of the doubt and build, enough room for people to grow into and be better. But lately I've just, instead of having this long drawn out discussion, which I know would fall on deaf ears and just turn into drama, I pretty much, you know, my passwords, I have to change them every season. And this last one, I just put in this troublemaker's name as part of my password because I figured by the time I have to change the password again, that season might be over. And sure enough, this week, that kid's looking for something different. And I'm like, well, instead, you know, I'm still going to try to at least talk through some of these points that might make him a better whatever later in his career, but my responsibility for it, he stepped out of my realm of responsibility pretty much. The only problem is now I might have to give him some kind of positive reference to get him gone, and I'm struggling with that, so I've really got to get some help on that one. But anyway, just resting in it and not you know, I haven't defended myself in any of these problems with these Judases. I've let my bosses come at me, and I'm just looking at them like, you know, okay, if you want me to be dumb, I'm the best at that. I'll be as dumb as they come, and you can go gather the facts for yourself. And this last time we had a contract renewal, the team said, let's go off the record. We just want to tell you, you're very fortunate to have George. So all my bosses were like, man, this was the easiest contract renewal we've been through. This was, you know, we came in a little nervous and we just walked out like, what was that about? So, you know, God's getting the glory. And, you know, obviously my Christians on my team really appreciate my leadership. And I just hired a Christian girl, and I'm open for some Christian help right now. So Lord, thank you for sending them. I receive them, and let me be as good to them as they're going to be to my guests. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You could put on his reference sheet, he has pretty blue eyes, and just forget about it, you know. Hey, Matthew, I see you made it up into misery. All right. Praise God. How's Leo and Yelena and all of them and all the kids?
We're doing good.
Awesome. Anna and the boys doing good? Shoshana?
Oh, yeah.
No problems on the way up.
None whatsoever.
Okay. Praise God.
That's what earplugs are for.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for being with Matthew and Anna the whole trip, bringing them back real quick. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Thank you, George. That was a good testimony. All right. Let's see. My Hebrews 4:1. Okay. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. Our faith in each of these promises brings us into more of the rest. For example, if we believe that by his stripes you were healed, then we will not keep seeking a healing, but will rest, accepting that it was accomplished at the cross. And this is true faith, and always brings to answer. Through believing the promises, we enter into rest from our own works. For a child of God to say that they believe that they have received and yet continue seeking to receive, usually through worldly methods, is to be double-minded. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Those who continue to work for what God has freely given believe in salvation by works. Hebrews 4:10, for he that has entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works. Hebrews 3:19, and we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Anybody got any comments on that? We just rest and believe, don't we? After we pray, we just rest and believe. And just act like it's already done. Since the promises of deliverance from the curse are past tense, when we believe them, we must stop working. It's an evil heart of unbelief to not rest. God was angry with Israel because they would not believe his word in their trial in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:8-10. Hebrews 3:11 says, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. We are become partakers of Christ. We are become partakers of Christ, his health, holiness, and blessing. And if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Anybody got any comments? When we believe we have received, we are put in a position of weakness because we can't do anything to bring the desired result to pass. This weakness is our wilderness experience because there is no help from Egypt or the world. Only God's power saves in the wilderness. God says, my power is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Our weapon against our enemies who try to talk us out of our covenant rights is the two-edged sword of these past tense promises, Hebrews 4:11-12. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Mark that spot. We'll grab that next week. Amen. You know, it's always good to go over these things again to reassure ourselves of the rest that we should be in and how we should be talking also. When somebody asks, you know, I have them ask me, you know, certain things, and I said, bless God, I'm here. Bless God, I'm here. But I find myself sometimes when somebody asked me something, you know, well, I can do this, but I just don't understand. Well, that's an evil heart of unbelief on my part. I should be thanking God for my healing. I can hear, I can do all these things through Christ. And, Father God, I just praise you for placing it in each and every one of us to speak out, confess the word of God every time. If we're seeking a healing, to speak out, say, well, bless God, I am healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, to not confess the bad confession, but to confess the good confession of all complete healing, deliverance, or whatever it is, Lord, circumstance. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Father God, just I ask and I pray that you would put it in our hearts to confess it every day. I put confessions for healing confessions of faith. And I love it because it's, I think I related this the other night, didn't I? I did do that, I think. But anyway, it's something that I do every day. Confess it every day for about 10 minutes. And I have found this out, that when you do that, you confess it every day, that you will get better and better and better and better as the days roll on. I absolutely have, the Lord has healed some things in me that I have been believing for years. And the proof of it is starting to show in me a lot. And that's because I'm confessing the word of God. How many of you know when you confess something, you can change anything in your body? You can change anything. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know it was that late. Okay. Anybody got a prayer? If they want to pray before we get out of here, before we close out. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you. That everybody here is healed in Jesus' name. That we're going to confess it. Everybody's delivered. The circumstances have been done away with. And Father, I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that we all have bold faith because you gave it to us. And all we have to do is trust you and believe you and confess it. And Father, we just praise you. Thank you for putting it in us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day tomorrow for everybody. Good night, sleep. And a supernatural energy tomorrow to do whatever it is God wants them to do. And those that are just giving up, Lord, we thank you for giving them a wonderful day. A good sunshine, warm weather. Right, Joe? In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, y'all be blessed, yeah? Let me see here. Where did Neil go?